Welcome to Where to Ski with me, your host, John Morgan. We're heading back to Colorado. Grab your skis. Let's dive into the world of skiing at Telluride. My guest today lives and works in Telluride and knows the mountain and the town. Bob Gleason, known for his boot fitting skills that are honed over 40 years, has been skiing, living, and working in Telluride for 27 of those years. Last year, he skied over 3.1 million vertical in all conditions. He knows the mountain and the area very well. Down in southwest Colorado, at the end of a box canyon in the San Juan Mountains, sits Telluride. This small town, known for Butch Cassidy's first bank robbery in 1889, for its mining history and its bad boy history, think Glenn Fly Smuggler Blues, is 6 hours driving from Denver and an hour 20 from Montrose Airport. Telluride also has its own small airport you can fly into, too. Since skiing started there in 1972 with a few runs that emptied into town, the skiing's expanded to include some of the best and most varied skiing in the world. Supported by a newer mountain village, the town itself remains historic, quaint, and awesome with restaurants, bars, and hotels catering to everyone. The ski area boasts an incredible variety of terrain suitable for every level of skier from beginner to intermediate to seasoned expert and extreme skiers. It's not huge, but the variety of terrain and the snow quality makes it seem really big. With over 2,000 acres of skiable terrain, the amazing scenery of the San Juan Mountains, the bowls, and the easier skiing near Mountain Village, they all combine to make this a don't-miss spot. So, let's find out more from Bob. Bob, welcome to Where to Ski. I'm really excited to talk about Telluride. Lots of changes down there since you moved. What brought you to Telluride, and how'd you get so hooked on it?
Well, you know, I quit working for Hanson Ski Boots when they went south. I got hired by Ernie Blake to run his shop in Taos. Did that a few years, and my old friend John Brooke Cottom, that I knew from racing as a kid, bought the lot across from the parking lot, the ski area, and he wanted to do ski rental. Asked me if I'd join him as a, you know, doing boot shops and retail, and I said, great. We had a great partnership. Taos did great, but after 11 years, I'd been going to Telluride several times because the ski school director at the time, Ani Sabah, had me come up to work with her ski school once or twice every year, where I'd set up their gear, I'd do their alignment, and really give them the full checkout and give them, you know, some lectures on what biomechanics means in ski boots and what canting was and so on and so forth. And so I had a nice connection with Telluride. And the year I moved to Telluride was the year that the gondola linked the town of Telluride in the Mountain Village, the 96-97 season. And with that link in there, the village had been built out. There was a lot of commercial space available at that point in time. In Taos, the Blakes owned almost all the real estate, so to get our own space would be an impossibility. And I knew with our business boot doctors, if we wanted it to really be worth something someday, owning our real estate was the most important part. And besides that, I first went to Telluride in 1977 for a Lunar Cup on July 4th up in Savage Basin. And at that point in time, you know, the windows were still boarded up on Main Street and so on and so forth. But it was really a sweet, funky town. And you know, I kind of really liked the personality of it. And when I started going back up doing things, I really became enamored with this sweet mining era town in these big, huge mountains, the most precipitous of any place in Colorado. I had the opportunity the first year to go up to work for another chain running their boot world, so I could just kind of see how it was and suss it out. Halfway through the year, this man building a hotel in the Telluride Mountain Village came to me and said, hey, I got a space available. You want to bring boot doctors up here? And it was an absolute shoo-in.
Nice. That's quite a story. I like that. I skied in a Lunar Cup there once. That was a pretty cool thing. That's they got us out of there that year. There was a thunderstorm. And you're pretty exposed up there.
It's true. It's way up there, and it crackles, and your hair stands up when it gets like that up there.
My hair always stands up, but it stood up big time then. Maybe you can give our listeners an overview of Telluride and what to expect when they get there. You know, you drive up that valley and it's cool.
The valley is gorgeous. You can fly directly into Telluride. It's a little pricier. The airport's really interesting up on a mesa right by town. But it's a real interesting flight. You come in off your right wing, you'll see Mount Wilson, which is the mountain on the Coors beer cans. As you're coming into town, you bank over the left wing down. You line up for the airport. They hit it and they throw the brakes on in a hurry. And jets land in there, but it's a short strip for that. Really scenic. Most people will fly into the Montrose, which is an hour drive away. You come over a Dallas Divide, which is a really well-maintained pass, and up the canyon, and you get to the top of the canyon, and here's these majestic peaks aligning the valley. Telluride condemned and took over the valley floor, bought it from an individual person about a decade and a half ago to keep it preserved coming into town. So instead of having ticky-tack all the way till you get to town, you've got this wide open wild area right in there. Very commonly you see a herd of elk in the valley floor as you come into town, and these magnificent mountains just surrounding you all the way around at the end of the Box Canyon.
That's interesting that they bought all, I didn't know that they'd bought all the land. I was in there this summer and I was looking at the bike paths in there, and they're just beautiful, beautiful paths all the way up.
Yeah, the biking's great. Around the valley floor, it's just little ups and downs, and it's some biking that most mortals can do, but it's very steep off to the sides. If you want an aerobic workout, mountain biking around here when you're heading out of the valley floor up, it gets you breathing, gets your blood thick.
Well, and one thing about Telluride is people have never been there. They think about the town, but there's sort of two towns. There's the main, there's Old Telluride. And then up on the hill, there's the mountain village that's been built specifically to be able to host the ski area for the most part.
In 1987, they started building up there in the mountain village. The first building that was built there is where the Boot Doctors is in the lower level. And so we managed to get those lower condos right in there. So it was pretty cool. Mountain Village, they could do larger scale developments in there. And they've got several really nice larger hotels in that area. And that gondola that I alluded to earlier was built on a federal grant as public transportation between the two villages. So it is a free gondola. So you could go back and forth without ever having to get in your car again once you get to Telluride. That's the sweet thing about it. You get here, you park your car, you don't have to drive again until you leave.
Yeah, and it's fast. It gets you over. It's about, 10, 15 minutes?
It's a 15-minute ride. Goes up over the Santa Sofia Ridge. There's two legs that get you over there. Another leg goes to the parking lot up in the mountain village. So, yeah, it's a great public transportation amenity that we have up there. That it's sweet. Going over to the town or back to the mountain village, it runs from 7 in the morning till 11 most nights when there's events going on. It'll stay open till midnight or 1 a.m. But you come over the ridge and you look at the town on one side lit up. It looks like a fairyland down there. And over the other side, you get all the lights, the hotels there. Could see, various things are going on. Sometimes there's a race hill lit up in the ski hill, and also it's cool.
It is pretty cool. I was there in October, and it came down into town at night. It was like, wow, this is just stunning.
Yeah.
So let's talk about skiing a little bit for an expert skier. And there's some
My
really
favorite.
Challenging stuff. What's a go-to day of on-piste skiing?
Well, you want to know the day that I typically do. I'll start up in the morning, jump on the Gondi, ride up to San Sofia Ridge, get on the Telluride Trail, and head over towards Lift 9 for a morning of really getting the blood flowing. We head down Telluride Trail. It gets to look out, nice big groomed trail. You can get some speed, get some wind in your face, get things pumping a little bit. They put in the new Lift 9, started operating last year, high-speed lift. It used to take 15 minutes to get up the plunge side of the mountain, Lift 9. And now it takes about 5.5 to get 1,850 vertical feet of steep, interesting, challenging terrain. Over the past decade and a half, they've been glading out all the areas next to the plunge and the spiral stairs and all that. So you still have all those great iconic runs. The spiral stairs is so well known. Go back to the Blizzard of Oz, there was some great skiing that would take place there, and still the same thing. Steep, get big bumps. Awesome. But then on either side of it, you've got these amazing glades and all these sections right in there. So you can easily ski there all day and not ski the same thing twice if you wanted to in all the various runs. You know, I mentioned spiral stairs. The plunge, of course, is the best known. The upper plunge goes into Lower Bushwhacker. That gets groomed, but it's steep groomer, so it's a good place to crank. To the skier's right side from the top, you've got Bushwhacker, which is even steeper yet and gets groomed every other day. So if you want to go arc turns, you could do that. Then you've got Can't Make 'Em underneath the lift right there. Can't Make 'Em, K-A-N-T-M-A-K-E-M. It's the initials of the old owner's kids. He had a big family, and of course, they can't make them with the initials of his kids. But that's an iconic bump run right there. When I first started going up there, I met Yukon Steel and Barbie. Yeah, Yukon had won the bump contest. It was a big deal way back when. And chased those guys up and down there all day and said, this place is pretty dang cool. And then Mammoth Slide right next to that. Good steep stuff. Just past Mammoth Slide, you've got the Fingers, which are steep little narrow chutes through the trees. You've got Joint Point past there. Of course, that's Telluride culture. Okay, and then down from Joint Point, you've got Satisfaction. You've got Upper Awesome Rock. Then you got the plunge. Past that, you got the log pile right over there. Past log pile, we've got Captain Jack's chutes, and all the way down from there. So it's just tons and tons of skiing off that lift. So get a couple hours there, get good loosened up, bounce through the pumps a little bit, have some fun, and then from there I'll go take a couple on lift six on route over there. Lift six, Elias Alley is the famous run over there. Emil Allais, the famous ski racer back when, he was brought in by the original owners to help lay out the ski area. And of course, that was one of his first big parts of the mountain that he put in there. You've got Apex Bowl on the skier's right side over there. Gets sun on a great powder day with the sun on it. Big open snowfields there. Good pitch. You can drop into that. The alley's nice and steep there. There's a bunch of tree skiing between Elias Alley and Zulu Slide over on the other side. Zulu's another steep, narrow, bumpy run. In between those A to Z trees are some of the finest glade skiing on the mountain right there. Steep and exciting and a little ratty in places. It's great. And then past that, you get Silver Dip, and also grab a couple runs there. And then from there, I will commonly head over to the Prospect Bowl. The Prospect Bowl on the skier's left side has nice, challenging intermediate terrain. But on the skier's right side, you've got the Black Iron Bowl that goes from there all the way to Palmyra Peak. So with, a 200-foot hike, you could drop into Crystal. Beyond that, the White Room. Beyond that, you've got the La Rosa area right in there. And then Genevieve on the end of that lower hike. Then when they open it up, you can continue up the Black Iron Bowl to the West Lake area. You've got the Dihedral Chute. Past the Dihedral Chute, you go over to the Quail Ridge and Chute on the other side. So again, steep, really steep on the top, and then it kind of rolls from there back to the lift again. So that's entertaining. And if you want to take the hike up to Palmyra Peak from there to get some good hike to skiing, it's really exciting. Big steep peak on the top. Cool waters coming off the front side of it. It's good, serious, challenging, side country skiing right in there for that back into the area. And then as the sun progresses further west in the afternoon, it lights up the Gold Hill section. Gold Hill is about 1,600 vertical feet of, 40-degree skiing on that side. We've got on the skier's left side from the top, you've got Little Rose right there that has a gully on the right side, which then funnels down to a little section of the bottom aspect right there. You can cut left to get some good tree skiing off that. Cut right to the run that's underneath the lift called Millions that all the locals like to ski on a sunny afternoon. So it's a very social event, bouncing through the bumps in there. And then further to the skier's right, you've got the Dynamo Chutes. There's three different sections of the Dynamo Chutes. Left one's kind of big and open. Middle one's a narrow couloir. Right one a bigger couloir on that side. Further to the right there, you've got Electra, which is a good bump section. From there, when the snow is really good, you go straight down to Lower Electra. Otherwise, there's a goat path that goes to Lower Dynamo and back around on that. And then further right from there, you've got Traumer's Trees. You've got Buzz's Glade, several other good steep sections on that. And from there, you could also drop off the back, to the Revelation Bowl lift off that side right there, which is a east-facing section. It's another way to start the morning. If you want to start the morning in the sun, go over to the Revelation Bowl for the early morning sun, and that's a nice bowl. It's got good steep sections all the way around. So there you go. And it'll take a lifetime for you to get tired of that scheme.
How big a hike is it going up to the top of the prospect?
To Palmyra.
Palmyra.
Yeah, Palmyra Peak, plan about an hour.
It's a decent hike, and you're in good shape.
It's a decent hike. It takes a little bit of shape. It's steep going up there. Top of that mountain's over 13,000.
You sent me a picture last night, which just told you earlier, it was like perfection in skiing. What about off-piste skiing around Telluride? There's some pretty good off-piste stuff that's not connected to the mountain you can get into too, right?
Well, yeah, it actually, well, first of all, off-piste, what is connected to the mountain is you have Bear Creek. So above Gold Hill, the other thing I didn't mention on Gold Hill too is the Gold Hill chutes. The skiers right up the Revelation lift, hike up what we call the Hillary Step right there, and you could head over to the Gold Hill chutes up there, 7, 8, and 9, which are good, rowdy, cool war skiing. And actually, one comes right off the top of Revelation without a hike on that one right in there. So that's great. But off the back side of that area are the gates to Bear Creek. And Bear Creek is iconic. When you're at the top of Lift 6, you look up and you see the San Joaquin Peak and the San Joaquin Chute down the middle of it, which is, it's the real deal. If you want to go hike above a 1,000-foot cliff that's sometimes been windblown and slick, and then get into your gear and ski a narrow couloir that is very steep. You know, it's a free fall on every turn right in there in this narrow area. It's a thrill. But there's also more of the, you know, real ski, you know, the common skiing man's backcountry skiing right in there, or side country skiing. You can go, drop into Safe and Sound, which, as it sounds, it's probably the most conservative run that you can take over there. Not quite so much pitch, not quite so prone to avalanche as some of the other areas. Nellie Mine is adjacent to that, which has a little bit of pitch. E-Ticket is right off that area right in there. And that's it's really good. Premier side country skiing right in there. Goes down through the wedding chutes below, and then down you take a road, brings you back to the lift at the bottom of the town. If you don't want to go big off the top of Lift 9, the Reggae and Contention chutes are right there that drop into Bear Creek on the other side. And of course, if you are an adventurer, the Wasatch on the other side has a number of really extreme chute areas. The 11s are over there. The Grandfather's over there. It's big time.
Oh man, there's a lot of terrain there. It's not that big an area when you look at it in terms of acreage, but there's some real terrain. Yeah. And
because the ski area is a little over 2,000 acres.
The chutes up there, you know, at the first three turns are hair raising. After you get through the first three, it's not too bad, but boy, you're in free fall on a couple of those.
To that. Well, and then the other great thing we have here, the picture you mentioned last night, we have Telluride Helitracks, which in Colorado, it is, there's no other helicopter service that can match that. They have a permit area that starts from Lizard Head, which is the pass that goes to the southwest from Telluride, all the way over to just about Silverton. And so they've got a bunch of basins in there that they get to fly that bird through to ski just amazing skiing. When you catch that on the right days, I mean, the skiing is tremendous. Flying in the San Juans in that bird is otherworldly. It is just amazing. They land on these little knife edges, these spots here with these huge peaks all around you and, you know, bowls in every all areas. You know, it is the San Juans, and the snowpack is really dicey down here. So you can count on they'll probably spend a lot of time on, you know, nice powder, low pitch, unless the conditions are just right. If the conditions are just right and it's stable, then they could get you some stuff out of that too.
So skiing the mountain, does it make sense to take a guide with you? There's some avalanche danger when you get into some of those steep chutes and into the bowls. If you're a rookie there.
Okay. So my son-in-law, Ryan Howe, he's a longtime patroller and snow safety guy. He and the Willie Glasnick from the patrol got together a few years ago and bought a guide service that wasn't being used effectively and put together Telluride Mountain Guides. And they are the only permitted people to take people into the backcountry right there. And they do an amazing job. And this is Ryan, the same guy I was telling you before. And later in the spring, he heads up to Haines, and he's the operations manager for Reggie Chris and Darren Ralph's stellar helicopter skiing out of Haines, Alaska. So they're extremely good. And if you want a guide, get a hold of those Telluride Mountain Guides, and you'll get out there and you'll be able to see the stuff.
Well, and guides help when you don't know exactly where you're going. You can find the good stuff right off the bat, and they usually know what's skiing well and what's not.
Exactly.
They also know how to keep your butt safe, which is important. There's some they do a fair amount of avi work in Telluride during overnight and in the mornings, right?
Sure. On a powder day, you got to come with a cup full of patience, because there is an awful lot of avalanche risk. And so they're going to open one zone at a time and make it safe before they get you in there. Early on, lift 9 is usually the first control, so you can spend your time over there. Lift 6 is also good to go early on. It'll take them a while before they get the steeps on Prospect and Gold Hill and Revy Bowl set to go.
When it really is dumping, how do you ski the mountain then? I assume you want to stay down in the trees more, because you just lose everything.
With the lights flat, again, all those tree runs that I was talking about, lift 9 and lift 6, you'll have great depth perception on the most socked in a days. And of course, there's a little bit of wind, more protection in there. The nice thing about lift 9 is it has a cirque that's totally protecting from the westerly winds that can blow things right in there. So even if it's been a big, windy, whipping storm, you'll get settled snow in there, and you won't have a lot of ridges and drifts to deal with when you're skiing those sections. So it stays nice on that side of the mountain. It gets a little more wind blown up on the top of Gold Hill. Again, the Prospect Bowl it protects from the westerly winds, so it blows in on the Prospect Bowl side. So when there's been a little bit of a wind event, lift 9 and the Prospect decides to be on. Okay. Revy, when the light's flat, can't see anything up there.
We talked a lot about the expert skiing, but coming right out of the mountain village, there's a ton of intermediate and beginner skiing down lower, which is really spectacular. It's well-groomed. It's really nicely cut trails.
Yeah. So, what's really amazing about Telluride is they've got zones that appeal to different skiers. So the intermediate skiers aren't having experts flying by them at too high of a speed, because their zones are really focused for those people right in there. So you don't get the mixing of skiers of other types. And again, for the experts, you don't have to do all these runs through intermediate terrain to approach where you're going. You get to the expert spot and it links very closely from one of the expert spots to the other without a lot of commuting in between. So it's an exceptional area in the way that it divides skiers by their abilities. The lift 1, the beginner, comes out of the mountain village, goes straight down from the mountain village. You at the mountain village core, you meet your ski instructor, you walk over, you're already on the immediate run. You don't have to go anywhere to get it, just to get you on that first intermediate run. There's a couple of magic carpets right there for the very start, and then the lift 1 is a pretty easy lift to access for novice level skiers. And just as they get that down, lift 10 is the best place for a novice skier anywhere. You have 2 miles of gentle, consistent grade, whether at any steep drops, is just the perfect place for a person that has just learned how to ski and wants to get to the level where you can really start skiing blue runs with a place that's going to get him mileage in a hurry. So yeah, for a novice level skier, I've never seen another place that's as good for that. And then as you get a little more skill, the lift 4 that goes straight up the mountain from the village core, that's the next step of intermediate runs. Village bypass trail right in there would be where you'd go after you've gotten to the point where you can ski the stuff on lift 10 well, a little more pitch, and then Misty Maiden has a little more pitch, and then Boomerang has a little more pitch, and you want to start skiing bumps. You've got Peekaboo, you've got Humboldt Draw. I've got a 7-year-old and 4-year-old grandkid, and I spent some time there the last few years, and they're now over both up on the top of the mountain whenever they want to be, but it was a great place to get them out there firing on all cylinders in their skis. And then from there, the lift 5 pod just above that is the next step up there. You've got Alta, you've got Dewdrop, you've got the Storm and Norman, You've got Polar Queen, and then once you get all those mastered, you could drop down Henry's and learn the bumps and the slightly more moderately pitched thing on that side. So yeah, there's a lot of terrain for a novice to intermediate skier. You could easily spend a week there and not get tired at all of what you're skiing. Just find the nice, easy steps up to take your ability up another level.
Sounds perfect for a lot of listeners that we get on this show here. Bob, tough question. What's your best place to stop for a snack on the mountain? Your favorite?
Oh, it's not open this year because they're rebuilding it at the very top of the mountain. Giuseppe's, it'll be going again in another year because this is the cool spot on the top. From there, if you're going to get a snack, Garano's is just underneath Lift 4, and it's a big old barn that was the barn for the Garano Ranch that was there originally before they built the ski area. So it's got some history, it's got some flavor, and you can sit down and have a meal right there, or just drop. You don't have to go anywhere. You could drop in on either sides, and you've got a town with restaurants and all sorts of great things right there. If I was skiing down towards the town side, I'd drop into Oak, right at the bottom of Lift 8, and get a good lunch right down there. It's also a great place for après on the town side of the mountain, right in there at the end of the day. And then, my friends that have tracks right in the village core, just at the front of the plaza right in there, it's a great independence, not owned by the ski area, independent business right in there that's been there for a long, long time and does a great job. And it's again the mountain village place to go for après. You'll find the locals all in there. And then the Tomboy Tavern, the ski area owns, right at the bottom of the plaza, bottom of Lift 4. That's easy in and out. They have music, most days when it's reasonably busy in the mountain, and it's a good little bar and restaurant, and service is pretty quick there.
That's a good start. What about the best month to head to Telluride? What do you think the best skiing is?
The best skiing is February and March. We often close the end of the year with some of the best snow of the year. So don't hesitate booking the last weekend there. It's almost always good. We close the first weekend in April every year. And, I don't know why from a business point of view, because the skiing's usually great there, but it gives me a chance to go ski other areas at the end of the season. So that's good by me. December. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. We're kind of, we're on the lee side of Mount Wilson in Sunshine. When the southwesterly snow comes, which gets our biggest storms, if it comes in slowly, then the storm can eddy out behind those big peaks and we get the wraparounds and then we get good dumps. If it comes up with strong wind, those could turn into a wedge and we won't get a lot of snow out of it. So if you look at Wolf Creek getting 30 inches out of a storm, it's not uncommon for Telluride because of that wedge there to get 5 inches out of that storm. But then when we get the wraparounds in there, then it fills in and we do a little bit better. The January, the last few years, with the way the climate's changing, we've actually had better skiing in January. We used to traditionally get a dry spell for about 3 weeks of January and haven't seen that in the last 5 years. So January has been recently filling in nicely, and then February and March you count on.
And it gets a little warmer and the sun is a little stronger. It gets to be pretty nice by the time you get to mid-February.
Oh, gotcha. But that's another thing about Telluride is we get a lot of sunshine, it's not the Northwest. We're right off the desert. And so, it tends to be a sunny area.
So staying in Telluride, town or mountain village?
Town is super convenient. Like I always say, it's crawling distance, all the bars. So, it's good for that regard right in there. The concentration of restaurants you have in town, it's really a great thing. But by the same token, there's nice facilities in the mountain village. There's hotels with, the Peaks has a nice swimming pool and water slide that goes all year round. And there's a great spa there for people that are looking for the full spa treatment thing that takes place. West Palmer Hotel is a really nice property just on the plaza at the bottom of the lift there in the mountain village. The Madeline Hotel up in the mountain village, really nice property. The Mountain Lodge off the runs, great big log structure there, which is great. And there's a nice restaurant in it called The View, which is good things. And then lots of other condos in there. And because you've got that gondola that goes from the mountain village to town, it's easy to get to town for the plethora of restaurants that are on the town side.
Yeah. And that there are a ton of really, really good restaurants around there. I got a chance to eat in All Reds a couple months ago. Wow. Yeah.
Again, the view.
The view is to kill for, and the food wasn't bad either.
Food's really good.
But I think more to my liking is the Chop House at the New Sheraton.
New Sheraton Chop House is great. Ray, that runs that place, has been there as long as I've been there. He does an amazing job. Their elk there is to die for. They got a lot of great stuff in that place.
Ah.
Yeah. And we have a lot of good restaurants. I mean, the place I'll go the most is Floradora, just a block and a half down from the Sheraton Chop House on the left. And that's an iconic place. Charlie and Flory, thus Floradora, they've had that since the area first got going. I mean, mid-70s, they started that restaurant. Their son Roscoe is now the chef down there. It's the great local family place with a great little bar in there and really good food. Brown Dog Pizza across the place. Those guys, they came from Michigan, and they do a deep dish that's amazingly good. If you like that sort of pizza across the street, just down a little ways from there. Rustico. Down on Main Street. If you like Italy, Stefano and Paolo, they're the real thing from Italy to do that place. And we sit down in that place, it's got that noisy vibe of a great restaurant in Milan, and the food's really good. I mean, one of the reasons I think I impressed the gal that later became my wife to move up there with me is I took her to dinner there and she had a great time. So on and so forth. The Cosmo at the Hotel Columbia, right at the bottom of the gondola on the town side. Nice restaurant right there. They've got a happy hour thing you get on the bar between 5 and 6 and save some money right in there. Telluride can cleanse your wallet pretty well, so you always look for those sort of things. But the Cosmo's a great place too. Over towards the west side of town, there's a little restaurant just off the side of Pacific Street right there that's just got the coolest vibe and amazing drinks. And they do a bunch of small plates that are to die for. And again, the ambiance in that place is just so much fun.
So no one's going to go hungry in that town.
Don't go hungry. I mean, do make reservations, because the fact that they get booked up. People like to go out and tell you, right? So, if you're going there, plan ahead and make your reservations and have a great time.
So what about the nightlife? I know the bar at the New Sheraton, they have great specials, and that's probably a good starting point, but you can pretty much go anywhere on Main Street.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the last dollar, or the buck, as we all call it right there, is a great old-style Western bar that has been there since the mining era. When the miners would come down to town, and they would come down on the weekends when they closed the mines and the whole thing. And there are pictures of them all passed out down Main Street after drinking all night. What the miners had to do is remember to save the last dollar so they could rent a horse to get back to the mine when they woke up the next morning. So it carries the name from the heritage back in that point in time. It's totally fun, that place. There's lots of good places to go and have a great night. We're blessed with great music in Telluride, because we've got the Bluegrass Festival and the Blues and Brews Festival and the Ride Festival and all the other big music festivals that happen in the summer. The musicians love Telluride, and the Sheraton Opera House has been there since the mining era. You see amazing acts in that place with 300 people. I mean, I can't tell you all the amazing acts that I've seen in there, but the biggest acts that are traveling on the road in that little place. In the Mountain Village, they have the Club Red, which is a larger venue. A week ago, I saw Rising Appalachia in there, and they were fantastic. We had the Motet in the Sheraton Opera House just this last weekend. The big bands that love playing at the Bluegrass and Blues and Brews, when they're traveling in the winter, Telluride's always on their stop. They like to go Telluride and then do Belly Up in Aspen. So we get a lot of the same acts, and Belly Up's a great place for music too for the Aspen crowd. So we get to share the musicians who are coming through for that.
Well, Aspen had John Denver, but Glenn Frey wrote a song around, or included a Telluride in one of his songs, Smuggler's Blues, right?
Smuggler's Up and Down in Telluride, you betcha.
Yeah, that was Telluride's reputation back in that era. Let's talk a little bit about your philosophy on skiing. Can't ski as many miles in as many years as you and I have and not sort of developed some thoughts around what skiing means to you and how you like to transmit it to others.
Oh, skiing is life. Skiing is it gives me inspiration for all summer. I mean, I love riding bikes just for light riding bikes, but if I ever need inspiration, I think about that last run after I've been on the mountain for 7 hours in the day, you know, and the biking gets me there. And wanting to not just go cruise, I like to ski the steep and the bumpy and the trees and everything all day long. And being strong is really important for that because it just gives me such joy and pleasure. And, you know, the people I ski with are just dang fun. You know, we just share this thing and this amazing community. And, you know, a lot of times, though, I'll just mainly ski myself and jump on the lift with somebody I know almost every ride because our town's like that. We kind of know where everybody is, and we don't have to ski the same run with these other people because we get our social contact on the lift, find out what everybody's doing, catch up, and then head to wherever we want to get going after that point in time. But by the same token, you got a posse you go skiing with, and you're yucking it up and have a great time. Nothing's better than that. Skiing, it just keeps you living and focused and healthy, and it just gives you reason. And of course, like I said, I've got my two daughters that I brought them up, and they're amazing skiers in their own rights. They both did a great job on the Big Mountain Tour for a few years and stood on several podiums. And then now I've got the next generation, the 4-year-old, 7-year-old, that are ripping, and it ties family together. My dad in 1936 saw an article in Life magazine about skiing. And he said, oh, this is pretty cool. So he and his buddy got together, and they were in Pueblo. He went down to the hardware store. The guy at the front of the hardware store says, well, I don't know anything about the ski gear. Go back there, and you guys figure it out. I'm glad to have you get it. So they bought one set of skis and boots. They had the same size feet. My dad had a car. He was 16 years old at that point in time. So they got a set of gear, and they'd head to the passes out of Pueblo. One of them would drive the car, while the other went to ski. They both ended up World War II. After World War II, all of a sudden, they were skiing in Colorado, and it was his life. And so I was lucky enough to have him put me on boards at 3 years old, and, you know, it's just such a great life.
I couldn't agree with you more on it's a great life. That's a life-changing thing, skiing. I fully agree with that. You're out of Boot Fitters now. Do you still go up there and work up there?
The Boot Doctors, yes.
Yeah,
I fit 2 afternoons a week, you know, Tuesday and Friday afternoon when I'm in Telluride. I will do boot fitting by appointment, and my dance card's usually pretty full, and, you know, it's very social and very fun. And, you know, I've had these customers that have been coming to me for boot fitting for my entire adult life, and it's great to still see them and see their kids, and their kids' kids, you know. It's multi-generation people that have gotten gear from me over the years. You know, when you set the boots right for people, you know, when you make their feet comfortable and put them in the right balance position, skiing is fun for them.
You know, how do people find you if they want to track you down in Telluride? Is it best to go to Boot Fitters and dive right in and see if you're there?
Yeah, call the Boot Doctors in the Mountain Village, and make a date, and I'd be glad to, you know, fit their feet if they want to show up and have me do it. And, you know, there's a lot of great boot fitters that worked with me for years in that place in there. So anybody in there will do a great job. Sam Tischendorf, that works by my side, if you read the magazines, they've had lots of things about her. She's a podiatrist from Australia that started fitting boots only about 12 years ago. And she's got a big reputation. She's been involved with development with a couple companies now in boots and things like that. The whole crew there is stellar.
And that's right in Mountain Village, the same place it's been.
Right in Mountain Village, yes.
Okay. Bob, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about Telluride. You know, you might see Bob anywhere on the mountain in Telluride or on another mountain somewhere else. You might even occasionally catch him at the shop during social hour. If you want to contact him, Boot Doctors is the right place to reach out. If you like our podcasts, please share them and listen to perspectives on other areas like Gurgle, St. Anton, Palisades, Tahoe, Jackson Hole, Sugarbush, Portillo, the Dolomites, and many, many others. Thanks for joining, and thanks to the Grits for the music. Bob, thank you, sir.
Thanks, John. It was fun talking to you.
We feel it, she feel it, we feel it. So round and round we go. We feel it, she feel it, we feel it.